Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us to this place and to this hour. Bless our time together that we may grow in faith, grow in our appreciation of what we are, saints of God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Bless our time together in his name. Amen. My dear friends, fellow redeemed saints of the living God, you know, the scriptures apply a number of different titles and meaningful titles to us as Christians, and it's titles that we ought to really appreciate and give thanks to God for. You and I, think about it, are called people of God, children of God. The hymn writer calls us children of the Heavenly Father. You and I are described in the scriptures as the salt of the earth, as the light for the world. And Peter, in his epistle, beautifully describes us as a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Glorious titles that each one of us, by grace, through faith in Christ, can make our own. What priceless privileges they convey to us. But you know, there's an even more glorious title that the Bible applies to us. And on this special weekend, it's a wonderful title. You and I are called the saints of God. Saints. Me. A saint. You got to be kidding. Saints of God. How can you and I be classified as saints? And what is the value and the good of being called a saint? Those are some of the things that we want to learn and grow in as we look at that first lesson for today from Revelation chapter 7. So what exactly is a saint? A saint, very simply, is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The word saint is derived from the Latin word sanctus, which means a holy person. So a saint is not someone who walks around with a halo on his or her head, with folded hands and a holier-than-thou look on their faces. A saint is simply a believer in Jesus Christ. Someone who has been made holy through Jesus Christ. And those who are made holy before God are also people whom God has set apart to be his witnesses to the world. People that he has set apart to be an evidence to people of what it means to be a child of God. In other words, people ought to see God when they look at us, in how we live, in how we act. That's how we can serve God as his saints in the world today. So you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, are saints. I've already defined the word. We use the word somewhat differently, but with the same understanding, in our church today. We apply the word saint to certain eminent individuals. You know, I think of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What do we call them? Saint Matthew, Saint Mark, and so on. Or we think of the apostles Paul and Peter. We call them Saint Paul and Saint Peter. Or the mother, Mary, the mother of Jesus, we call her Saint Mary. So we use the term to apply to specific eminent individuals. We also use the term to apply to departed believers, kind of as we use it on All Saints Weekend, as we are this weekend. It refers to those believers who have transferred their membership, so to speak, by their death, transferred from the church militant, that's where you and I are today, the church at war, still fighting against sin and temptation, but they have been transferred to the church triumphant, the church in glory. One other way that we sometimes hear the word used is within the Roman Catholic Church. It's also used to describe certain people who have been canonized by the church and thereby elevated to a rank of sainthood. But very simply speaking and scripturally speaking, a saint is any believer in the Lord Jesus, whether that person is living right now here in this world or they have departed this life and are in glory in heaven. Those are the saints of God. And All Saints' Day is observed in the church in commemoration then of all of the faithful departed saints of God. And that word of God before us from Revelation chapter 7, if you haven't listened and followed it, read it when you get home. It's powerful, powerful words. Speaks of the saints of God who have departed and have reached their eternal destination in heaven. It speaks about the saints in glory. So, who are they? John tells us they are people from every land and nation under the sun. They are people of every class and color, of every language and locality, of every race and of every rank. They are people who have been redeemed, paid for, bought and purchased by the sacrificial life and death of Jesus Christ on the cross. St. John gives us some beautiful and interesting comments about the saints in glory. First of all, he says in verse 9, I looked and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And then he goes on in verse 14. He says, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So first of all, where are these departed saints of God? St. John informs us that they are before the throne of God. Think about that. So our departed loved ones have not passed into annihilation or extinction or into nothingness. Death does not end everything, but rather they are now before the throne of God. I love the way Jesus describes what's going to happen on the last day. Jesus says, the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and come out. So Jesus gives us a clear and definitive answer to that question that was first echoed by Job centuries earlier. When Job asked that question, if a man dies, will he live again? So Jesus and all of Scripture give us the clear and powerful, the definitive answer, yes, we shall live again. Now, my friends, can you think of a more beautiful or comforting description of your loved ones who have died, who have passed on, that they are now before the throne of God? That they are now, right now, in the presence of God, in the city of God. It's a wonderful comfort for us as God's people. God assures us that our loved ones are with him in glory. And John then goes on in those same verses that I just read to tell us how they got there. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I know as a child I kind of struggled with that verse a little bit because it seems so confusing. White, blood, red. But it's so powerful and so simple. It says, it's a description that the robes that our lives are soiled and stained with sin, as were our loved ones while they lived here on earth. That's our natural sinful condition. But through Jesus' perfect life, innocent death, and triumphant resurrection, we have been purified. We have been made white. We have been washed clean because Jesus shed his blood on the cross for us. That's what we are now, cleansed, pure in the sight of God. We are his saints. And the Bible makes it clear, very clear, that Jesus is the only way. There is salvation to no one else, Luke tells us in the book of Acts, but only through the name of Jesus Christ. No other way to be saved. So our loved ones who have passed on before us, and we ourselves, are all saints of God because we have had our robes, our lives, washed in the blood of the Lamb, in Jesus Christ. Jesus shed His blood to make us holy. Incredible, wonderful news that the Bible gives to us. Now, when the Apostle John was permitted to get a glimpse of the beauty and the glory of heaven and of God's people, of what it means to be a saint, he noted that their appearance was marvelous to behold. The Scriptures tell us, for example, that the saints above will have glorified bodies. That means that they will have bodies from which all defects and all impurities and deficiencies are gone. They will be perfect bodies, fashioned after the glorious resurrected body of Christ Himself. The Bible tells us that the saints above are going to be robed in white robes, signifying that purity and holiness that will be ours and is ours by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. That lesson tells us that they're going to be carrying palm branches. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 92. The righteous shall flourish as the palm tree. So in heaven, those palm branches signify the victory, that wonderful victory of Easter that belongs to the child of God. And we will celebrate that eternally in heaven. So maybe that brings up another question. So what do the saints in glory do to pass their time? Now, for those who imagine heaven to be a kind of a boring place where all we're going to do every day is worship God and sing praises to Him, there's nothing can be farther from the truth. I love to sing. Pastor, you heard his voice, loves to sing. And I'm looking forward to that in heaven. But heaven is so much more than that. Believers, we are told, will find fulfilling service day and night in the presence of God and of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Certainly the description that John gives us here is wonderful and inspiring for us. John writes, "They are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Incredible. All of those things that in this life bring sorrow and trials and sadness, gone forever. Now, exactly what this service that you and I are going to and that the saints in heaven are rendering, we just aren't told in the Bible. But we're told that day and night, unceasingly and eternally, they will serve the Lord who brought them to faith, the Lord who kept them in the faith, serving Him day and night to His glory. What a wonderful picture that is. It means that we, as the saints of God, will be exempt from all of the difficulties and disturbances and troubles that confront us on a daily basis in this life. It says that we will enjoy the beauties and the pleasures that await the child of God in the presence of God. As residents in the holy city, we will be fed with bread from heaven and refreshed with living fountains of water. What a beautiful picture for us to look forward to and for us to know our saints in glory are experiencing. We will enjoy perfect peace, quiet rest, total safety. Let me repeat those because they're worth repeating in light of the world in which we live today and everything that's happening on a daily basis. Perfect peace, quiet rest, total safety. We won't have to go through a thing that'll announce whether you're carrying a weapon or not. That's not going to be a part of heaven. The psalmist, I think, says it best. He says, "You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." That's ours as saints of God. We can rejoice that we will be in the presence of God forever. You know, I think it's really beyond our ability to fully comprehend and appreciate what it means. Maybe to help us a little bit, a person born in 1900, okay, if you walked up to that person in 1900 and you told him about color TVs, about DVDs, and CDs, and cell phones, and jet planes that can fly you to any place in the world, you tell them about the internet where you can get information just like that, or you can talk to somebody in China and actually see their face as you're talking to them, what do you think that person in 1900 would have said to you? You're out of your mind. That's totally out of the realm of reality. But every one of us here this morning know that it's not. It's all happened. It's all a part of daily living for us today. Well, as shocking as that would be for them, and unbelievable, I think that's what heaven is going to be for us. Totally beyond the reality of what we can think of. Paul, with respect to that, says in 1 Corinthians, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him." But you know, the wonderful thing is we don't have to know. We don't have to fully comprehend. Just believe it. Just believe that God's promises are true. So may God give to us on this All Saints weekend, may He, first of all, give us hearts that marvel and wonder at this God who has done all of this for us. May we be thankful for the gift of forgiveness and life that we have through His Son right here and right now, and also what is to come for us. May we heed Paul's encouragement and directive when he tells us to strive for the prize. Always keep Christ in heaven right before your eyes. And may we then do as John directs us in the book of Revelation. Be faithful to the point of death. And God's promise is, I will give you the crown of life. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen.